heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
The nation.
And now, Malcolm.
Well, this is probably one of the most confusing and abused topics to most people today. And it's being controlled by a four-letter word. And it does start with F, people. And that word is fear. It is fear. And that is typically the word that people use when they want to take advantage of others. We're speaking today of climate change, global warming. It's known by many different names, actually. My perception of global warming and climate change may be different than yours, and it may be different than the gentleman we have on the program today as well. But mine is a very simplistic form of understanding global warming and climate change. First, I always use my common denominator, people, and that's greed and corruption and power. That's the common denominator of mankind. You got to remember that always now. See, so whatever conversation you're going to have next, just remember, there's always a motive. Somebody typically has an agenda. Whatever the topic is, I don't care what it is. But there's always people that want to take advantage of other people. That is the common denominator known to man. Yeah, that's exactly it. So when I think about the Earth, and I always talk to you about this amazing, I call it a blue marble. Obviously, it's more than that, but let's just call it a blue marble for today. In the universe of universes, and I look at Earth and I think about the miracle of life and the miracle of where we all are today, it never escapes me how precious all this is. And I ask you also to consider that, please. You consider the value of this life and this Earth and where we all are. And the miracle behind it all is just completely staggering. I don't think any of us can get our mind really around that, you know. But if you do, when you start to think about Earth and you think about, oh, golly, the thousands of years before we were all here, before we were born, I'm talking about you and I right now, you see. So the way you have to look at it is this Earth has been changing. Forever, since its existence, it has been changing constantly. It's gone through many, 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 many cycles. And the scientists today will know more about those cycles than I know and than you know. But that's the key of Earth. It's a living, breathing phenomenon. It's a miracle. So let's look at it as what it really is, people. Very layman terms, it's a miracle. And that miracle has gone to change from time to time. It's gone to completely change the shape and style and the weather. And you think about weather, and weather is a phenomenon in itself. And the fact that we can live our lives the way we live them, and we get these inclement weather patterns of storms and things that happen. But, you know, I always associate that with a lot of these sci-fi movies where the weather systems come in and they play havoc on you, and it gets interesting. But a lot of our brains are trained that way through our entertainment. I think entertainment is a big part of this. And I think the lines blur. We confuse entertainment with the reality of life, you see. So consider that as well. That's another point of this discussion today. But the bigger point, I think, really is that greed, corruption, and people who want to take advantage of other people. Now, listen. This is an industry that is primed to make some money in. And if you're going to manipulate anybody, you might as well use sort of scare tactics like this, if anything, to understand. You know, when they were calling it global warming, and then they found out the globe was cooling, you really begin to look like a moron, you see. You kind of can't call it warming when it's cooling, or cooling when it's warming, or, you know, vice versa, right? I mean, that's kind of hard to do, people. So then you got to ditch that term. And sort of go with another term, which would be climate change. Now, even President Trump has come out and said, no, I believe the climate is indeed changing. He figured out what the words climate change meant. You see, it's not global warming. That's not the same. People use those words interchangeably, but that's a fool's game, people. That's a fool's game. obviously the climate's going to change. I mean, you'd have to have a very low IQ not to understand people that climate changes. If it doesn't change, we're in trouble. We're in trouble here. And again, that's my view of this thing. It's a simple view, but I think it's one you can grab onto people. What I'm talking about when we say the word climate change, you see? So then it becomes to, are we being good stewards to the planet? And if not, what are we doing to disrupt all of this? And what part does mankind have in all of this is really the question you have to ask yourself. All right, so according to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, N-O-A-A, so what they say is this: students should understand the following. Okay, this is them speaking to our young people now. Okay. The effects of human-caused climate change can already be seen. For example, in the melting polar ice caps. Now, that is typically the one thing you always see. And I bet you every one of you have seen those videos with the caps here, the ice caps melting into the ocean, right, into the seas there. I'm sure you've seen those, and you'll typically see the polar bear running like hell. I mean, we've all seen those videos. They're entertaining as hell. I mean, it's like a movie again. So, I mean, clearly they're entertaining. But to those who take this seriously, maybe they're not so entertaining because the world is ending and the ice caps are melting and the sea rises, the levels are going to rise and they're going to take out the cities and we're all going to die. So where's the line blur on that? Is that entertainment or is that reality, people? See, so that's the deal. But again, back to Noah, who's talking to our kids again. So they're talking about the melting polar ice caps. Okay. They go on to say more consequences are expected, including the extinction of certain species and loss of forest. Now, that's some pretty big words there, people. Now we're talking about melting caps, that we're going to have extinction of species and loss of forest to the kids now. So the kids, I'm reading that as a young boy. So if I'm 12 or 14 years old and I read that, I got to tell you, I'm probably going to have a couple of nightmares tonight, people, because now we're going to lose the forest and species are going to be going away. And I'm wondering what that means. And am I one of the species that is leaving? That would come to my mind as a 12-year-old. So what does that mean, right? Yeah, wow. So they go on to say some of the infrastructure created by humans is in danger, such as the extra burden placed on the energy grid from high temperatures. Now, there's a lot wrong with our energy grid. That's a whole nother conversation. I do think we're in trouble with our energy grid for a whole host of reasons, people. That's another talk here. I'll tell you, for energy grid, it's absolutely going to be a problem ahead, the energy grid, but I'm not sure how it ties to this temperature business, you know? So they end with saying how the climate and precipitation patterns change can threaten agriculture and food security. Okay. So, people, that is a hell of a warning coming from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA. And we're not speaking of Noah in the Ark there either, you see? Although he probably had some weather problems as well, I think, yeah? So it goes on here, and there are two choices I think I want to explain to you up front. And this goes with a lot of conversations we have out there today. Any important subject matter, you know, that is key to a healthy life for you and I, there are two choices we, the people, always have, friends. And both words start with an I. And they are ignorance. We can be ignorant to facts and keep our head in the sand. Or we can be informed, you see. Now, when you want to be informed, that means you really have to weed through all of this rhetoric and this garbage that's out there. And there's a lot of it. You got to remember what I told you a bit ago here, too, about that corruption and greed and the power seekers. They're always looking to monetize this. There are always people looking to monetize this because that's human nature. It's just human nature. You got to understand that's baked into the pie here. If you understand that's baked into the pie, you'll be better off on the journey forward. I assure you of that. I'm absolutely 1,000% of that statement. Wow. Yeah. You just have to understand the basic math here, people, and how it works, you know? So there's another site, Science News for Students. And it says here, climate change affects people in many ways. Direct impacts can hit hard. Extreme weather and sea level rise can destroy homes and property. Well, people can suffer physical harm from extreme events as well. even if someone doesn't have these losses, they may worry about what could happen in the future. Depression, anxiety, post-trauma stress, sleep disorders, and other problems can result. Oh my God. Then it goes on to say, what is anxiety? And this is all in the Science News for Students. And it wraps up this way here. It says, the brains of children and teens are still growing and developing. Okay. Now, there's a psychologist who they tap in here, Lisa Van Susteren. Here it is. She's an expert on the mental health effects of climate change. Interesting. Psychologist out of Washington, D.C. Any psychologist that lives in Washington, D.C. has problems before they even start to talk, I'll tell you, huh? So these growing brains make young people particularly vulnerable to environmental stressors, she says. And she starts to report on different court cases and what have you, and that the U.S. government is, that they're suing. Various youth groups are suing the U.S. government for a failure to take action on climate change. And, of course, this all feeds to the narrative of what's really happening. So that's been going on for some time. There's a lot of anxiety out there. And the kids are, they're doing these skipping schools, these protests. You've seen them worldwide, actually. They've had them in London and Barcelona. And just about any big city out there has done these skipping schools protests, you see. And so what they do is all the, and I use the term very lightly, responsible adults edge on the kids to, you know, make a mockery out of the whole system. And then they all leave the schools and they go skip schools and makes it all legal to have fun. So instead of, you know, hiding and running down the block, you can do this sort of legally with the adults understanding that it's legit. You can skip school today because of this climate change business and you're not happy with it. And so this is all being played out with the kids and the generation. You think about it, it's pretty sick behavior by a lot of these adults. And this, you just look up school strikes, kids skipping schools protests. You'll get a lot in there. There's a whole lot of information out there. And you'll see these strikes. One of them just happened. One of the big ones was in March, actually, of 2019. And that was, I mean, you're talking tens of thousands of kids were striking and protesting in the streets and looking for a future. And they were all talking about all kinds of things. And 1,700 cities across more than 100 countries, they claim here. And now, of course, the American students joined into that, of course. And the push was for environment improvement initiatives. And they've referenced here like the Green New Deal, which, of course, is led by this Alexandria Ocasio-Stalin. Cortez, yeah. It's a non-binding resolution that calls for a complete switch to renewable energy in the United States by 2030. And so what's happening is, again, this is, you know, on its face, this thing is a crisis for sure. It's a crisis of the manipulation of young minds and non-suspecting adults even, who are not really paying attention, but see the headlines and figure that we have some real problems here and nobody's really paying attention. And this all plays into the narrative that, you know, it gets political, people, political, because you've got money, greed, and corruption that play into this thing. And that's always what happens. So interesting article column we have on the front page of America Out Loud, friends, is entitled Manipulated Temperature Data Drives Global Warming Scare. Now, that headline got my attention as well as the editor-in-chief. It got my attention as to what are we talking about here. And what was stunning to me is the facts that I hadn't really focused on the fact of how corrupt NASA and NOAA were being. I knew they were doing something, but I didn't really think it was to this level. And I was surprised when I seen that, wow, they're doing some. And I'll read you this one little paragraph here, and then I'll bring on our experts today. Dr. Jay Lehrer and Tom Harris will join us from the International Climate Science Coalition. And so they say, make the facts fit your political agenda. And I like this little paragraph here. It's brief, but it's worthy of your time. And they say it was clearly time to resort to the strategy that progressives use in times of crises. If you do not like the facts, ignore them. Create your own. And they reference that that's in accordance with George Orwell's 1984, which, of course, was a famous novel and classic book that we've all read. I am certain that you've read it out there. And it goes on to say, such an approach has been followed by tyrannical leaders down through the ages, which is kind of where I started here when I talked to you about this thing. And I talked to you about the fear. So listen, there are two I words, remember. Repeat after me again. You know the I words. They're ignorance or informed. See? So let's be informed and not ignorant, people, number one. People come to this show and this program and this platform to be informed, not to be ignorant. Of course, there are a lot of people who are ignorant out there, and we got to try to capture some of that audience and bring them in. So again, I want to suggest that if you've got friends, that your Democrat friends or leftist friends or ignorant friends or other friends or people who need to be informed friends, invite them to the show here and let them give it a listen. We speak very intelligently, clearly, and honestly about the facts without a political agenda, which, of course, by today's standards is highly unusual. That's a unicorn in this business, people. But it is refreshing as well. And so let's get informed here and lose some of that fear and understand what is behind this global warming and, more essentially now, the word today, climate change, as the Earth continues to spin in this beautiful universe of universes here.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Okay, I'd like you to welcome on here with me, please. Dr. Jay Lehr is here. It's always good to have Dr. Jay. He's a senior policy analyst with the International Climate Science Coalition, and he's the former science director of the Heartland Institute. And speaking of joining us also, thrilled to have Tom Harris on. Tom is executive director of the Ottawa, Canada-based International Climate Science Coalition. And both of them, by the way, are the co-authors of that article I was just telling you about. So I thought this would be an appropriate place to have this conversation. Now, let's start with kind of a stunning revelation to me. We'll come back to a lot of that fear and ignorance and all of that in a bit here, but I want to start with the this bit here about you say much of the underlying temperature data has been continuously manipulated by NASA and NOAA to bolster concerns about man-made climate change. That's what you say in that piece there. So here's what I want to ask you straight out, and what I thought of in that moment here is, why are the good folks at NASA and NOAA manipulating the data? And I mean, if they are manipulating the data, Dr. Jay Lehr, who are they in bed with? What's going on with NASA? I thought we could trust NASA, but we obviously can't. So who are they sleeping with?
No, we can't, Malcolm. And let me say that your opening monologue was absolutely brilliant in laying the framework for the problem. I'm a student of history, and I can tell you now, without any controversy, that man-caused climate change is the biggest lie ever perpetrated on society since man began to walk the earth. And it has been contrived by people who, first of all, really are emotionally and mentally disturbed, want to destroy our way of life, destroy capitalism, and institute a system of socialism, if not communism, and thereby placing stress on all the people who are not mentally and emotionally disturbed. If we're miserable, we want to make other people miserable. But they're clever enough to bring in the money, the corruption that you describe. So the reason that NOAA and NASA has been altering the real data to make it coincide with the alarmism that increasing carbon dioxide has negative impacts on the planet is to maintain their jobs and to increase their budget. So they're people who have been appealed to by their income and obviously they're weak mentally in terms of being honest and ethically, and they've been drawn in. The same is true at virtually every university in America where the academics create mathematical models to support this greatest lie in the history of man because it brings them acclaim, power, keeps their job, and it keeps funding. So there is, as you've described, a vast population who are controlled by either the desire to destroy the life as we know it, the desire to promote liberalism, leftist, progressivism, and also bring money into their pockets. And then, of course, the leadership are just truly evil people. I mean, it started with Adam and Eve, the battle between good and evil. And everybody who is locked in to the idea that the use of fossil fuels, the creation of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere has any impact on weather and climate, that's their story. And of course, you've described the saddest thing of all is that we've grown a whole generation of children from kindergarten to senior year in high school where that's all they've been taught. And then they're let out with their brains not fully formed to have all these demonstrations that you described. It is very, very sad. We're fighting an uphill battle. Thank goodness there are programs like yours and many other conservative talk radio people. Certainly, we have no voice in any newspaper in the country. We have a voice in only a couple of universities in the country. But it is a battle of evil, and it will go on for decades, probably until the temperature of the planet begins to cool, which it most certainly will in the next 20 or 30 years based on our studies of the sun.
Interesting, Jay. Interesting. Wow. Well, you say a lot there. A lot of questions and thoughts come to my mind right there, but that is profound, really, that you say that. Tom, I want to stay with NASA and NOAA a moment, and I have to tell you truthfully, I was, and I think what I want people to make sure, there's several lessons I want them to get out of this program, but I was, I guess I shouldn't have been surprised because everybody manipulates, as I said in the opening part, and the fight of good versus evil is a very big part of these things and conversations we have. But NASA and NOAA, so this is really, I'm guessing, Tom, then, as Jay says, it's about really their agendas and budgets. And that makes some sense logistically from a business model that they would do that then, I guess, right? I mean, what else, why else would they do it, huh?
Well, what they found was that their data was not showing the warming that was supposed to be occurring. And of course, that meant that they had to start changing the data, and in particular, going back into the early 20th century and lowering the data so that, in fact, you know, lowering temperatures so that it would look like there was a significant increase in the recent temperatures. But, you know, we have to realize that when we're talking about surface temperatures, they don't have temperatures for most of the Earth. In fact, I have a quote here from Dr. Ball from an article that I wrote in 2015. He said that NASA makes the ridiculous claim that a single station, single temperature station, represents all land surface temperatures within a 1,200 kilometer radius. Wow. In other words, if you had a temperature station in Ottawa, Canada, you wouldn't need one anywhere all the way to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, because that's your 1,200 kilometers. So, in fact, they don't actually have data for much of the world. I mean, obviously, they have very little data for the oceans. There's little data for land areas that are mountains or desert or boreal forest. I mean, the bottom line is they simply don't have good data right now. In fact, in the Historical Climatological Network database, they have all of northern Canada represented by one data point. okay? And that's in an area they call a refugia, which is unusually warm, because, of course, the scientists don't want to live in areas that are unusually cold. So the bottom line is they simply don't have the surface data to really come to a knowledge as to what's happening right now, let alone being able to forecast the future.
Tom, that graph that's in the article itself, I want to touch on that a moment with you, please, because it is stunning. And you just made the claim, and I just want people, let's not gloss over this a moment here. So this is important. There's an actual chart in this article we've referenced here, which shows how the data has been manipulated. Take a moment, please. I mean, this is stunning, actually. This is where you find somebody's hand in the cookie jar of life. Tell folks what they did with that chart and graph, please, Tom, and what that means here. What do they try to do here?
Well, they're trying to show a continuous and pretty steady rise in temperature as a result of carbon dioxide rise. And yeah, carbon dioxide has risen about 40% since 1880, but the temperature rise has been quite small. Until they start to adjust the data to make it look more dramatic. And so what they did, let's say, is around 1940, they actually originally in the 1999 graph had 1940 warmer than about 1995. Mm-hmm. But now with the adjustments, actually 2016 adjustments, they've pulled the 1940 temperatures down. So you see a reasonably steady rise.
Tom, how do they get away with this?
Well, they do, I guess. It's a good question. Jay would probably know the answer better than me. Jay, do you think it's because most people just simply forget what they said years ago and they read the data and say, oh, it must be correct now?
You've described it exactly. People have a very short memory. You can put out data today and that's totally counter to what it was 5 years ago. People don't remember. And you've got to understand that this change was not noted by any of the media. You know, the ones that buy their ink by the barrel, which is 99.5% of the print media, as well as most of the television programs, they just ignore as though it never happened in the data they put out in 1999. They see the data for 2016. It matches the rise in carbon dioxide, as you said, and that's all there is to it. So in a world where the majority of the people that have the pen and the television, it's fairly easy to continue the lies working. And of course, on top of that, everything that is presented that is scientific is what we call junk science, or a better way to put stating it, it's cherry-picked data. You can prove any scientific idea or prediction that you can imagine by just grabbing those data points that work for you. And so the whole concept of junk science is just grab the data that works and leave everything else out. Mm-hmm. If you actually look at all the data, you know everything they're saying are lies.
Yeah.
One of the ways that people can tell that things are not happening the way NASA and others say is they should go to the database for all the states. The state records record things like the maximum temperature, the minimum temperature, most rain, most snow, and everything else. And what you find is that in the whole of the 21st century, only two states set their maximum temperature record. Two in over 18 years. You go back to about 1936, you had 15 states set their all-time max temperature records, and those records still stand. So even just looking at it from with official government data that they don't actually tell you much about, I'll send you a link to the database and people can look up. It's kind of fun because you can see what extreme weather records were set, say, in 2018. And what you'll find is there was one. It was the maximum size hailstone in Alabama, which is over 5 inches in diameter. And so what you find, and the only extreme weather record set in 2019 mm-hmm. was coldest in the history of Illinois. So if you're looking for warming, you've got to go back to the 30s, and it's right there in the data, and that's probably the best database of its kind in the world.
And this, I guess, explains, Tom, why they've changed the terminology so much, but a lot of your broadcasters now are using, that's probably a lot why they've dropped global warming, right? You don't hear that much anymore, right?
Yeah, that's right. And climate is always changing. In fact, that's one way that, you know, they call Trump a climate change denier. CNN put out a video 2 days ago in which they said he was one of the most prominent deniers in the world. But, as you know, what I recall is that Trump says that climate changes all the time. So he's the actual opposite of a denier. And he said, yeah, of course climate changes. But the idea that we control it or that we can even forecast it for the year 2050, I mean, when you have scientists say that we're headed for cooling and others saying we're heading for warming, obviously the science is very, very unsettled.
All right. Let's talk also, I don't want to lose sight. Another thing I think people need to understand, guys, and Dr. J, speak to this point a moment. I don't think a lot of people truly understand. The United States is not the big abuser, first of all, of these fossil fuels and the CO2 that we're talking about, which they're complaining about. And that is that's the go-to point that they're speaking about that is changing our weather. They're not the big abuser so much. Let's make sure people understand. Who are the top abusers in this field, please?
Well, I don't like to use the word abuser because there isn't anything wrong.
Good point.
Fossil fuel.
So hold on. So you're convinced now. You just said something interesting to me again. Thank you, because you're informing me as well. So you're saying that is totally out of context, Jay. And so there's two points here now. What everybody is measuring, first of all, they're not admitting where we sit in the lineup. But then you're saying on top of that, that whole data is a bunch of rubbish to begin with.
That's absolutely true. The more fossil fuels we use, the more carbon dioxide we put in the atmosphere. In the atmosphere, the better is life on Earth because it allows all the vegetation to grow better because carbon dioxide is their breath of life as oxygen is ours. So we've got to get rid of the idea that there's anything wrong with burning fossil fuels. Now, China obviously burns the most. We're about 15% there in the order of 35 to 40%, but it's all good. They're not doing anything wrong. We're not doing anything wrong. And so we've really got to undo the lie that there's something wrong with carbon dioxide. And the sad thing is in this country, different states are trying to stop the use of fossil fuels and the emissions of carbon dioxide because they think they can do something good for the world. Number one, they can't do anything for the world, and there's nothing wrong. We've got to really get rid of that idea that burning fossil fuels is an abuse.
But Jay, wait a minute now. I mean, they've been talking about, and I can see the data here and in my research for this as well, they're saying that the CO2 levels continue to rise. But why is that so? Why is there such disparity beyond the obvious reason? But why is the disparity of just pure intelligence of understanding? Because as you start to study what you've just spoke about, you do understand all the science points to the fact that all of this is good for our greenery. It's all good for our plant life and all of the things that we need to require to breathe and live. Yet they're saying the rise of that has got a detrimental impact on all of us, Jay. So where's that disconnect, please?
Well, they have zero physical evidence. I mean, it is the biggest lie. It is a total lie.
Wow.
No foundation at all. Everything about carbon dioxide is positive. They have no evidence of anything negative. What they do is they create a mathematical equation that they say simulates the climate of our planet and that the amount of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere has an impact on the temperature of the planet.
Right.
And they make all this up with an equation when they really have no clue what controls the temperature of the planet. Willie Soon, one of the most brilliant climate scientists, calculated that if we could put all of the variables that control climate into the world's largest computer, it would take 40 years for that computer to reach a single projection of what the climate may be. Tom and I just recently wrote an article where we listed 10 obvious things that affect the temperature of the planet, and we don't understand any of them. So they have nothing but mathematical models that are nothing more than a joke, but the academics are getting billions and billions of dollars to promote these things that have never predicted anything correct.
That is stunning.
Everything is upside down, Malcolm.
And as I've started to understand this argument more, Tom, picking up where Jay is on the CO2 level. So humor me a moment, Tom, for us. And now, what if we did curb the CO2 levels? What if they dropped through the floor? What if we did do all these things and we changed our entire lifestyle? How would that impact the planet, please? Like, what would there be a detriment to that?
Well, there could be. If we got, like right now, there's about 410 parts per million of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. And by the way, I should point out that plants are generally still CO2 starved at that level, because most of them actually evolved at a time when we had 1,200, three times as much CO2 in the atmosphere. And of course, that's why they pump CO2 into greenhouses to get to that level, because the plants grow better and they don't need as much water. But you know, one of the fears is that if you artificially reduce carbon dioxide, and they are talking about building huge machines to take carbon dioxide out of the air, there's a real problem, because what if we were headed for a global cooling cycle, which of course some scientists say, and carbon dioxide would then naturally drop? You know, if you get below about 150 parts per million, and we were down approaching that kind of level in the last ice age, you actually have plants starting to die. Okay, so what if, in fact, we were headed for a natural cooling and a natural reduction in CO2? We have artificially taken CO2 out of the air. We could be actually causing mass extinction in the future centuries, because CO2 could drop too low. But you know, Jay held up a CO2 meter in our meeting in Oakland back in September, and at the time, the CO2 levels in the room were about 900 parts per million. Okay, now remember, the outside atmosphere is about 410, and we weren't affected at all. Okay, so there is virtually no realistic upper limit to how much CO2 we can, I mean, if you multiply it times 100, yeah, that starts to cause some problem, because you're displacing the oxygen. But at any reasonably forecast levels of CO2, double, triple, quadruple, there is no problem with increasing CO2. However, if you drop too low, whoa, you're really in trouble.
Cows farting, is that a problem? Let's put that out there with the methane. Is that another concern?
Not as far as we can see. And of course, other sources of methane are things like termites. Mm-hmm. I believe they're the largest source. I'm not sure. Jay, you might know that.
Yeah, I think they are, but methane is insignificant. It is a greenhouse gas, but the primary greenhouse gas, of course, is water vapor. Man-caused carbon dioxide. I have a new diagram that I just created that I'm going to write an article around. But man-caused carbon dioxide in the atmosphere is 1/10,000th of all the molecules in our atmosphere. 78% are nitrogen, 21% are oxygen, 0.9% are argon, and there are tiny little amounts of other things. But the amount of carbon dioxide that we are emitting through our industrialization is 1/10,000th of all the molecules. And the crazy people who are preaching global warming and the destruction of the world are trying to tell us that 1/10,000th of the atmosphere is in control of the temperature of the planet. It's patently absurd, and it's got to be the things that Tom and I write and the radio programs at yours that has to bring this information to the public, because they're not going to go into the data banks to see the data. We have to bring it to them. They've been brainwashed by the normal media who tell these lies day after day after day. We have to undo it by doing the truth day after day after day.
You know, one thing we have to also correct people on is language. You remember in the appendix to 1984, there was 10 pages about what they called newspeak. In other words, designing language so that people would quack like a duck. I think they also called it duck speak. And interesting, because think about it, carbon dioxide is plant food, it's benign, it has lots of benefits. But what do you hear constantly? You hear it called carbon pollution. And even people on the conservative side will fall for this. They call it carbon emissions and carbon pollution. It's not pollution, it's not carbon. We have to call them on it every single time, because just like in 1984, the use of language is very important. When they call something a green energy source because it reduces carbon dioxide, we say, well, that doesn't sound very green. Carbon dioxide is green. It's what the plants need. So you have to call them on their language, because otherwise people think of it all as dangerous and dark pollution.
Yeah. Well, again, the common point here, people, is again this fight here of real facts, truthful facts, good facts, and evil facts. And again, that always is the denominator here, good and evil here. I mean, we pointed out already some of the factors here. You know, it's a real eye-opener when you truly understand the disparity between these numbers and these facts, and just basic science of the CO2 emissions is a point number one. That should be envelope evidence number one. I mean, and then you understand, as you just learned with plant life, what would happen with plant life and what would happen with all of that. Yet then you have to understand that disparity, and then, you know, where this has become a fight of people that have made an industry out of this. This is a cottage industry that has grown up a great deal. Well, now what's happened is some of the politicians are asking for the facts and figures from some of these documents, and they're refusing to hand them over. It's another interesting point I want to bring up with Dr. Jay Lehrer and Tom Harris in just a moment.
The silent majority has spoken. We say, let the silent voices be heard. You can be the voice of change. Contact our producer at liberty@americaoutloud.com. liberty@americaoutloud.com.
Well, the Out Loud perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on americaoutloud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Well, Representative Lamar Smith, a Republican out of Texas, prior to the 2018 election, he came out. He was chair, by the way, of the House of Representatives Science and Technology Committee. He demanded even then that NOAA produce the data for independent analysis. Now, NOAA had refused to release this, and they subpoenaed the data, actually. Judicial Watch had sued NOAA under the Freedom of Information Act, which they tend to do in these kinds of things, to access to their data. NOAA continued to refuse to turn over the documents. Whatever happened to that gentleman? Do either of you know what took place with that?
Well, they refused to give the data, and they were able to really tread water until the next election, and Lamar Smith was removed from his chairmanship. A Democrat was put in place, and that was the end of it. I think we can get back to it. There's an outside chance that the Republicans can win back the House of Representatives in 2020, and then we could go back after these totally corrupt.
So, Jay, when he lost the chair then, like all these committees, they completely changed the agenda. That's what happened with that one on the science and technology, huh?
That's correct, Malcolm.
Yeah. I see. Yeah, I figured, because I never heard any more about that. I could not find the results of that. But they still refused to turn over the documents. So, obviously, they're in cahoots with the forces that are running that committee now. And they wouldn't come across with those documents, of course. Now, with suing them at all, I'm wondering how Judicial Watch made out with that.
Well, but they haven't, you know, they're able, these kind of legal cases can go on for a very long time.
That's a good point.
Judicial Watch has not yet given up, and they'll consider pursuing it. They will pursue it.
Right.
They're involved in many cases, and they have just so much time to put in. But they've got a fighting chance down the road.
You know, they're amazing, Jay, Judicial Watch, and the work that they do for the people, for we the people I'm speaking about, you know. They are amazing because they'll hold people to the fire and hold them accountable almost in all cases, don't they now, you know?
Yeah, there is not a better organization on our side of the track. And basically, they're not on a side. They're for truth and freedom.
But
Judicial Watch is totally unbiased and is working for the people to undo the crimes of government and people in many cases. And so they go, they have a team of lawyers that go after the truth. They win some, they lose some. This one is up in the air as to getting the actual data that allows NASA and NOAA to produce lies.
Yeah, well, they're on the side of truth and the side of good with trying to get the right information out there, which is the way we have to look at this. Now, one of the things that I think is most egregious in this conversation that I started with here are the children, the kids, the schools, the information that's being put forth. And, you know, as I started to research that, gentlemen, I was really stunned with the amount of information and the educators. Again, this is just one more case, one more example as to why so many out there are really considering homeschooling and why so many, or even private school, although that's still not a guarantee. But I can tell you for certain, the public school is absolutely not a guarantee. And they're manipulating things. So when you look at the destruction of a society, and Dr. J, let's stay with you a moment here on this topic here. When you look at the destruction of a society and you consider your educators who are in cahoots with all of this bad stuff, you consider the media that is in cahoots with all this bad information, you consider the corrupt and the greed that are in cahoots with all this bad information, you consider the politicians that are in cahoots with all this bad information and data that's coming out here, and now you've got the new generation, as you just described in the last segment, that is being totally misinformed and ignorant. You mentioned a term back there that caught my attention. I had never considered this, Jay, and I want to put this out there because I have failed to really get the common sense as to what the motives of these people are. I can never discover that other than greed, corruption, and money. But you mentioned another one. You mentioned, and this may sound like a joke, but it's not really a joke, I don't think. You mentioned mental disorder. I just want to touch on that a moment here, because I'm wondering here, you know, talk about that mental disorder a moment here for me. Do we have I'm almost wondering, I know that's a bit of a claim here to say that there is a mental disorder, but I mean, it would make some kind of sense, Jay, other than the greed and corruption and the money, and that's all that matters to them. So how does the mental disorder play into this thing, I'm wondering?
The leadership, the driving force of all the people that have totally really destroyed a generation in terms of feeding them lies in our education system, the driving force of the environmental advocacy groups, the people who are true leftist progressives who want to instill socialism in our country and defeat capitalism. Bernie Sanders would be an example. I believe very strongly that the vast majority of them, if not all of them, are emotionally, intellectually disturbed. Nobody has ever met an upbeat, happy-go-lucky conservative.
Interesting.
These people are mean-spirited. They're miserable, and their only way of feeling better is to share their misery with other people. So I think it's the driving force, frankly, behind all evil, people who are mentally disturbed. But sadly, they bring into the fold people who are not mentally disturbed, who believe they're
wrong.
I'd like to add to that. You know, one of the things is the progressives say that they are social justice warriors.
Right.
They care for the poor. And yet one of the fallouts of this whole here is that electricity prices go through the roof. Mm-hmm. And of course, that hurts the poor more than anybody. Similarly, they say they care about the environment. But in fact, where do you think they get the rare earth elements that they use to build these super wind turbines? Mm-hmm. They get them from China under terrible environmental conditions. You know, on the price thing, people don't realize you get rid of coal and inexpensive sources, you have huge increases. We had a 200% rise in electricity rates in Ontario from 2002 to the present at prime time of day when we got rid of our coal and tried to run our country on our province on more expensive sources of energy. And the getting rid of coal was one of the major factors that caused this 200% rise. So when I hear Americans complaining, oh my goodness, the 35% rise. Well, look north if you want to see what's coming, if you ever did follow the New Green Deal. I mean, you know, it's really, really bad. And of course, you sabotage the main causes that progressives say they hold dear.
Yeah. Tom, those are fantastic points, and you're spot on. You know, you listen to what you guys are saying right now, and Dr. J is so right there. Tom, when he says here, back to the evil, mean-spirited, and I've heard that claim before, although I truly haven't focused on it to the degree that it just dawned on me as he was saying that. I've seen a video in the last couple of days where AKA Bernie Sanders, who you just referenced a moment ago here. And as you start to think of these people, they are truly some of the most evil, mean-spirited people. You don't really see him laughing and having a good time. He's pretty miserable. And when you watch, and I know this doesn't sound right, maybe it sounds like it's a personal attack, but I'm not trying to do that. But I'm just saying, if you look at some of the speeches or some of the conversations that a Bernie Sanders has, he's always got this vicious, mean approach to his presentations, Tom. Do you know what I'm talking about here? You know, with these cats,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And one of the things, you know, the left have always prided themselves as being tolerant of different points of view and different ideas and different lifestyles.
Like
and
hell.
All that. And yet, in reality, they are completely intolerant of, you know, any points of view that disagree with them on, for example, climate change and, of course, many other issues. And you know, you have to this is kind of a reverse to what historically the liberals said they stood for. I mean, it was the conservatives that were opposed to Einstein because they thought it would upset their worldview. Mm-hmm. And actually, they were right. It changed the worldview quite a lot. And, you know, the German left were the ones who were defending. It's completely changed now, where the left are the least tolerant and the least able to tolerate alternative ideas. And that, again, is completely counter to what they say they stand for. They're the least tolerant people on the planet.
It's hard to wrap your mind around some of this, Tom. It's so in your face. I mean, the facts here and the stats and what you say right there is so truthful. So it makes so much sense here. You know, I want to encourage both of you. It just came to my mind here as we're talking here, Jay, Tom. And I want to remind people as well that if you go to the AmericaOutloud.com platform, people, and you look up under the bloggers columnist area, you'll see Dr. Jay Lehrer, Tom Harris. And I got to tell you, they have some of the most amazing conversations and articles and columns and informative pieces on the planet. You'll find them right there, I assure you. It's a fabulous, fabulous library of information, truly, truly a gold mine to click onto, to hear these gentlemen and their weekly thoughts as they're trying to push the ball forward here to inform all of us. But, you know, I want to encourage both of you to do something here. I'd like to see a series of articles. I'm thinking, I don't know how many, maybe it's two or three. Three would be fabulous. But what I want to see here is if we could come up with a conversation to our kids. I'd like to see, because I'm seeing a lot of information out there to the youth and to the kids that are more in that way. What I'd like to do is break it down to simple denominators. And not only for the kids, but let's face it, guys, I think you both would agree with me. Everybody's very busy today. Adults are very busy. And if we can break it down to little bites and basic information, because none of us are going to be climate change experts at the end of the day, you understand, or scientists at the end of the day. But the idea is, how do we inform the people so that we can understand the truth? I think if you did a series of articles, I think this would be absolutely fabulous. And we've got some educators on the platform and some others on the platform who can push these out into the schools. And maybe we can get the series of articles to be really noted. Maybe it's a three-part or whatever you think is needed here, guys. If we don't get this information into the schools, we are screwed.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. And, you know, it's interesting. I taught as a sessional lecturer four sessions to Earth Sciences, a course on climate change. And we had a total of 1,500 students when you count all the television. And they were talking to me after lectures and they were saying, man, we've never heard this before. And they were really interested. And to some extent, they were indignant that they hadn't been informed. So I think there's a lot of openness on the part of young people to hearing alternative points of view. And I think they're going to be quite annoyed with their teachers when we do what you suggested. And
I Boy, I'd like to hold you to that statement right there, Tom. That's fabulous. When you say that they're going to be upset with what they read is what you're saying. I like that. I like the sound of that.
Oh yeah, they're going to take it to class and they're going to say, "Hey, Mrs. So and So, what's going on? Let's look at this closely." And of course, that's the last thing the teachers want.
Malcolm, I want to bring up a point. You mentioned the cottage industry of the people who, you know, make money on the fear and the lie of
warming.
There's actually a cottage industry on the other side of, really our side, of the scientists who are churning out the real good science data to show that carbon dioxide has virtually nothing to do with the temperature of the planet. But it's really not about science. It certainly isn't about any complicated science that could make people's eyes glaze over. It's really very simple. And I'm in the process of writing one article, and I suppose I could turn it into a series, as you suggest, using some very simple statements, a half a dozen simple statements that are incontrovertible and easily understood by the public, along with these two graphs I've created, one that shows that carbon dioxide man-caused is 1/10,000th of all the molecules in our atmosphere and said to control the temperature of the planet. And then another similar graph that just shows all of the greenhouse gases and shows that man-caused climate carbon dioxide is a tiny, tiny percentage, well under 1% of all greenhouse gases. So I think you've hit upon something, and to respond to what Tom said, we need to make it simpler. We really need
That's right.
This is common sense and logic, and get away from getting into the weeds with the science that really is not about what these people are doing. They're also projecting their crimes upon us. That's one thing the liberals and the leftists do every day. They look at themselves and how terrible they are, and they project it on us, and particularly President Trump. Every crime they address to Trump is really their own crimes.
Right. And Jay, if we don't do that, what happens is, gentlemen, is people gloss over the facts here. Because the thing I have to point out to all of you is people have a life to live and they're busy. And this is what I find happens. And then they take the lowest possible denominator, which is the headline they read, as you suggested, Jay, in some of the publications and media out there or the television programming or what have you. And it's also corrupt and it's also biased. It's horrible. And then you have a misinformed public, and it's back to those two I words I said early on, and I've repeated them twice to you now. You're either ignorant or you're informed. It's one of the other people. You've got to choose and pick your mind of what you want to do here. I think what you say there is very, very important, that if we can inform the people and get to the youths specifically, we will be in far better shape for this generation coming up. And if we don't do that, we're going to be in a heap of trouble here, gentlemen. I assure you of that. And this is just one more way this power, greed, corrupt, manipulate data. They manipulate facts. And more than that, people, they manipulate your life. And that should really irritate you today, I'll tell you. Okay, our agenda here is for you all to have a more quality-driven life as I want it, as Dr. Jay wants it, as Tom wants it. That's what our goal is for you people. There's no other agenda attached to this other than the truth. And so please get informed. I always tell you, it's time to get involved and get loud.